This will be the first time I've ever been mic'd on anything, so hopefully within about the first 2 minutes I'll forget that it's there, and we'll go from there. Appreciate everybody being here. And I'm actually, one of the things that's been good for me as I've gone through this is that there's a lot of things that have been good for me to reflect upon as I've gone through this. So this series of lessons is really something that is for all of us, including myself, and a lot of these things here, you know, God's Word can speak to us in many, many different ways. And some of us, as we go through this study, as we look to see where we're at in our own personal lives, something hopefully will hit a node and kind of spark a level of interest that would cause us to go out and either talk with our other brothers and sisters in Christ or to seek out more insight and information. So I hope that over this next 8 weeks or so that you'll find that these series of lessons are a blessing to you as we go through this. At the end of each lesson, you know, it's important for me to have feedback, what's working for you and what's not. And it's something that, as you know, that you've been in class with me, that I can be flexible and I can move and I can change and adapt. So using PowerPoint is something I've done a few times, but it's a little different way of teaching for me. And so, give me the feedback, because what's really important is that we all find something here and that we feel that our interest is captured and that we allow God to speak to us in our hearts on a topic that I think really is very, very important, as Brother Harlan pointed out, with regard to the number of issues that money in our lives can cause. And that's one of those topics that sometimes we don't want to talk about. It's kind of taboo and it's kind of off limits, and especially within church. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight itself too. The lesson tonight, to give you a sense, the goal that I'm looking for over these series of lessons is to become successful Christ-centered stewards of God's resources in our lives, and thus good representatives of our faith. One of the things that we're going to talk about tonight in a little bit more in depth is we're going to talk about money and we're going to talk about stewardship. And to me, that if we come to the end of this and we feel that we have a better understanding of what God's goal for us in our lives about finances are and how we can use those to glorify Him in our lives, then I think that we will be well on the road of being the types of stewards of His resources and representatives in the world around us that would be reflective and be honoring to God. Any questions on that? As we go along, if you got a question or comment, you know, please, this is not intended to be a two-way, a one-way dialogue, although I'm capable of doing that. I invite questions and comments, and even if you have a different view, I think that's important too. I can flow with that, and so the more that we can dialogue and share back and forth between us, I think the more that we're going to get out of this in its entirety. We're going to break this into actually two components. Some of the information that I'm going to be sharing with you, there's a gentleman by the name of Todd Sadowski, who actually is a missionary Baptist, and he actually has a book that I will be sharing with you that I think is the core of what we're going to be studying over the next several weeks is in this series of lessons that he has. And then I'm taking from some other sources that I found on the internet, and I'll be giving you as we go through those different resources in case that you want to follow up and look at some of them. I also have a full packet that in the coming weeks I'll share with you. One of the things that's really important as we go through and we set the foundation of what it is that we, you know, do with our finances is that they're biblically based. And I think what's really important is that we have the scriptures, and I have scriptures that I want to pass out to you in the coming weeks so that you can read them and you can reflect upon them. Because the things that we do, if we're going to set a biblical principle, I think it's really important that we can tie it back to what God says in the Bible. It's not, you know, a nice thing to do. I think it's a mandatory thing to do, that if we're putting ourselves out there about Christian finances, then it should be based on principles that we find in the Bible themselves. We're going to break it into two sections. And these two sections are really around financial freedom and contentment. How do we get there from a biblical perspective? And the first half of what we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks is really what is that biblical foundation. And I think for us to find financial peace of mind, we have to look at, you know, finances and money and God from an eternal perspective. You know, we tend to want to look at things in finite, what we can touch and what we can feel. And I believe that if we are keeping our eye on Jesus, if we're keeping our eye on God and our future and our eternal home, then we're going to be able to put the context. And we're going to find in the scriptures that there's an awful lot of things that we understand that we're just sojourners in this world. And so, you know, what God has entrusted us with, that we need to keep an eternal perspective on that. Unity with spouse. This is one of the things that Brother Harlan talked about and I think is really important for us to understand. Is that you know, finances can be a wedge. It can be a divisive force in a marriage. And so God has a lot to say about that, and he doesn't want us to have that. And so something around unity around money is very important to the Lord. And we want to have faith-based decision-making processes. You know, we come up on a daily basis, which is really going to be the focus of our second series of lessons we'll get to in a second, but you know, again, we're making decisions on a daily basis of how we're going to spend and how we're going to use our resources that we have. And again, what these first series of lessons are intended to do is to create that foundation so that we have a stake in the ground. We don't want to be like the wise man or the foolish man who built his house upon sand. We want to build it upon rock, solid rock, so that we have principles that we're applying that we can feel confident in and feel good about that we're doing what God would have us to do with the resources that he's entrusted us with. And we need to really focus on the fact that our security is in Christ, not in money. You know, unfortunately, the world, and I think some of us may ourselves have fallen into the trap of putting our security in money and things as opposed to our security in Christ. And this is a very important principle that once we can embrace this and we can understand it, I think it's amazing the windows and the doors of opportunity and the financial peace of mind that we can have. Whether we have a little or a lot, I think that the scriptures will bear witness to us that we can feel blessed and we can have financial contentment and peace of mind, whether we have a little or a lot. And the last one is biblically wise counsel. And I think that there are financial counselors in this world that are not bad for us to be able to seek out, that understand the markets and some of the different tools we're going to be talking about. But again, if we have questions and there's division and there's not unity with your spouse and there's questions about, you know, what would God have us to do with our finances, then I would encourage you to seek out your pastor, to seek out Brother Harlan and have dialogue with him because, there's a foundation and a basis that we can go to and make sure that we're on that solid ground as we go out and we look at all the tools and the resources that are out in our community and in our world that I think can be there for our benefit, just like physicians. You know, Luke was a physician. You know, going to doctors is a good thing. But when we put our faith in that as the only source and that they're going to solve all the problems we have in our life, then I think we're heading down a wrong road because we miss God's point that he blesses us with opportunities in our life to be able to explore and learn and to grow and to be successful. But once we deviate away from him, I think our lives become very complicated. And I don't think we have that peace of mind. The second side then really is going to, and this is probably going to be, you know, somewhere 4 or 5 weeks down the road, we're going to take this foundation that we're trying to set and we're going to move in and we're going to start talking about things that I think are tools and resources and on daily practical things that we're doing. You know, what about budgets, you know, savings, different types of investments, short-term investments, long-term investments. You know, insurance. Insurance is something that people, you know, there's mixed reactions and feelings on. You know, is it good? Is it bad? Is it biblical? You know, legal documents. You know, and sometimes we kind of we throw our hands up. You know, but they're trust, and there's a lot of things in this world that I think that when we have and we approach them from a biblical standpoint of view, again, they're foundation points and pieces and tools that can allow us to be good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. And I think that there is wise counsel in our communities that we can go to and we can seek out. But again, they are not to be looked at as the be-all, end-all. Again, that they are a tool, they are a resource that I think that can allow us to be good stewards of what God has given us. Any questions or comments on this? Does it make sense? Seems logical way? Okay. These next two slides really build upon a little bit of the high overview that I gave you. These are kind of a little bit of the topics that we're going to look at over the next couple, over the next several weeks. We're going to talk about money and stewardship tonight, and then hopefully when we're through with that, starting next week, we'll be starting about contentment. And contentment's really a key principle that we really need to understand a lot. Can we be content with a little? Or do we have to have a lot in order to be content? It's an important principle for us to get grounded in as we start talking about finances. Then we need to really start talking about tithes and offerings. One of the things we're going to talk about tonight in stewardship is what we have is God's. And the principle of tithes and offerings is one of those taboo topics that we don't want to talk about a lot. But I think it's very biblical, and it's something that we need to be mindful of, and we need to give prayerful consideration to. Not to where somebody beats you over the head and says, you have to do something. But God clearly gives us some guidelines, and he creates some expectations on where our hearts should drive us in our giving. Rags or riches. Lifestyle. It's a good topic. How's it flowing? Let's talk about cash. Do you got enough? Or get to the end of the month and there's not enough of the month left for the end? Then we're going to talk about sharing of risk. We're going to be talking about insurance. What does it mean? How is it important? Quicksand. Debt. Probably one of the most divisive things in marriages is debt and the pressure that it feels. Cash reserves and liquid investments, other types of investments. Retirement. I think it's important that even though we talk about the fact that we're keeping our eye on Jesus and we're talking about our eternal home, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be good stewards, and that we should not look towards, you know, how that we are going to reflect the stewardship that God has entrusted us with. And in retirement, when we may not be able to work. And there's things that I think that we should be thinking about. And then we should be talking about passing it on. You know, Rockefeller, you know, when he died, somebody asked his accountant, you know, how much did he have, or what did he leave? And his accountant said, all of it. And there's a principle there that we're going to talk about in the coming weeks. We're not going to take anything with us. I haven't seen too many hearses, you know, in funerals, you know, pulling a wagon behind them with the money that the person has taken with them. We find in the Egyptian culture, and you go back, that they buried a lot of their possessions with them. But if you notice, when they go out and they discover these tombs and they dig them up, all those possessions are still there. We can't take it with us. But that's different than saying, you know, are we responsible? And if we're using it for God's glory and honor, then deciding how we're going to pass on what he's entrusted us with and blessed us with in this world, it's an important principle that we should not lose sight of, that I think is really important. And then, you know, let's put actions to what we talk about, making it happen. You know, hopefully there's going to be something out of all this that will be practical and tangible that you can put your arms around and you can feel successful and say, you know, that's a principle that maybe will have some value and benefit in my life. Okay. Any questions on any of this? Money. It's a good thing. It's a bad thing. It just is. But it's a universal language, isn't it? No matter what country, what culture you go to, money or some form of possession and assets, you know, or what people exchange and they go back and forth with. You think it's appropriate to talk about money at church? Anybody want to shake their head no? Why don't we talk about it? My sense is, you know, we don't talk about money that much. We talk about salvation. We talk about prayer. We talk about how to live a good Christian life.
I think it's been abused in the past. Well, it's been abused, and I think that's what people see is the abuse, and that's they kind of focus on that.
I agree. I think that sometimes it's been used as a whipping post. That it's very unfortunate. But I also think that some of it is also too that we're probably a little uncomfortable because, you know, oftentimes my feeling is that we know in our hearts when we're not doing something that we should be doing. And when you start talking about finances within church, I think that there is some obligation that we have to sustain God's ministry. But I also think that sometimes that we're afraid that we might have to make some changes in our life that we don't really want to talk about either. And if it's something that we're struggling with in our lives, especially about something the effects of money tend to be pretty visible and pretty tangible oftentimes. You know, a lot of the other things that we talk about, you know, our faith and our prayer and salvation, they're things that you conceptualize. You don't touch them and feel them. Our faith is not something you touch and feel. But boy, when you start talking about money and what it buys and what you identify with, what you can touch and feel, and how other people see you, it becomes a little more personal. It's kind of interesting. We entrust our soul to God, but I'm not sure we're very good at entrusting our money and our finances to God. And again, it's because we tend to be people who like, we do what we can touch and feel. And somehow or other, what money represents to us represents what we can touch and what we can feel. Agree, disagree? Do you know how often money and possessions are discussed in the Bible? Any idea? Faith and prayer are mentioned approximately 500 times in the Scriptures. Now, I haven't gone and done this and counted them all up, so I'm going on faith, what somebody's shared with me. Over 2,300 verses, more than faith and prayer combined. So why do we think it's talked about so much? Why did God put it in over 2,300 verses, do you think? Think he knew that money was going to be an issue in our lives? I think so. Was it an issue in David's life? Brother Holland talked about that this morning. It was a huge issue in Solomon's life, wasn't it? Material possessions was a huge issue in Cain's life. It goes all the way back to the very beginning. It's an important topic, and it's a topic sometimes we don't want to put our arms around and you know, we shy away from it because it's uncomfortable. Just think about this for a moment. Money, from God's perspective, is a test and a trust. I think God can use money and what He has blessed us with to test us. Can we be faithful stewards? Can we be faithful to what He has entrusted us with? Sometimes it may be a test to say, do you really love me? You know, one of the parables is you know, the parable of talents. And that God wants us, what He has blessed us with, He wants us to be able to take and use to His glory and honor. And sometimes we have individuals who want to take it, and they don't want to do anything with it at all because they're afraid to. God doesn't want us to do that either. If He's blessed us with something, His desire is that we use it for His glory and honor, not our glory and honor. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't get joy and pleasure out of what God blesses us with from a material and a financial standpoint of view. But it's also a trust. What is a trustee? Okay. Are we God's trustees? What does our financial behavior say about us? What do you think? Yep, this is that uncomfortable position. The heads all kind of go down.
Everybody answers to themselves. Mm-hmm. There's nobody, I don't know what your situation is, it is between me and God, that we actually know the truth.
Okay. Other comments?
It is between us and God, but it's not just between us and God. Me and God and the rest of the world sees how I handle what he's given me.
And that can be, the way we handle our finances can create problems, as you talk about relationships, but it can also create problems in other aspects of our life. You know, when you talked about being in debt and all kinds of things, and it can really, we can have great, Christian attributes, and we can bring that testimony with the way in which we conduct ourselves with our money, being that good steward.
How do you feel that you're passing the test? The next slide here, there's actually two, and I like both of these, and they're statements. And so, again, they're for you to reflect upon. But I like them because I think, in my case, I think that they're true. First one is, money is an exact index of a person's true character. Our bank and credit card statements are our theological documents. They tell who and what we worship. Now, I'm not necessarily asking you to say I agree or I disagree with that. But for me, I think that there is a measure of truth in both of those statements. It's about character, because what we treasure is going to be reflective of how people see us and how we act. Fair statement? If we treasure God, people are going to see that's what we treasure. If we treasure possessions, then I think that that's what people are going to see. Now, it's not for me to judge, but our actions do speak louder than our words. And that's one of the things that when we start talking about this topic, what's really important is to understand that this is not about having lots or having little. See, the first trap we fall into, I think, is we tend to want to put the stake in the ground and say, you know, I'm not being blessed or you're not being blessed because you don't have a lot. And that's when we're going to talk about contentment. Because the scriptures tell us clearly that no matter what position in life you're in, that you can be content if you have your eyes on Jesus. That's a tough one to swallow sometimes, though, because our identity is really wrapped up in things. And especially the world we live in today, we're really wrapped up in things.
And we feel like possession. We have to meet the standard of everybody else around us.
Right. What is stewardship? How would you define stewardship?
The word that you've already used, trustee.
Okay, trustee.
Taking responsibility
for resources. Wise use of resources?
Taking responsibility for what you've been given and managing it well.
Taking responsibility for what you've been given and managing it well. All good points. Yes. The delegated responsibility and accountability of wisely managing that which belongs to another. Stewardship. The delegated responsibility, that means that somebody else is, you're doing it for somebody else. Accountability. Yeah, that's a topic that we're not, that's a little uncomfortable. Accountability is one of the things that I think in our society that I see is rapidly eroding. Is people in accepting accountability for their choices and their actions. And yet that's what stewardship is. Good stewardship. Managing wisely. What is wisdom? Pardon?
Applying the knowledge.
Applying the knowledge, absolutely. You know, there's application of knowledge is wisdom. And that's what God entrusted Solomon with was godly wisdom. Solomon started out and he asked for that and it was great, and then he stepped off and he began to feel much more full of himself and felt that he could apply that wisdom, and he started applying his own wisdom, which I would submit was probably at least based in some biblical and godly wisdom. But when he began to depend on his own ability to take and apply knowledge without God's input and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in his life, it got him into an awful lot of trouble. And I think it's that wisely is really important, because we can't wisely be good stewards of what God has given us if we're not seeking his input. If we're stewards for the person that we work with in our business each day, we just don't randomly go off and say, okay, you know, I'm here getting my paycheck and I'm doing everything, without getting some instruction, some input of how they want that to be done. And I think the use of our finances every day in our world and how we spend it is the same principle. We should be looking to God to help order our steps and help us to make decisions based on good biblical principles. Thoughts, comments, agree, disagree?
Do you think one of the issues may be that it belongs to another? We want to treat it as our own versus, and, you know, may handle it different if we actually treated it as it belonged to somebody else rather than ourselves.
I think absolutely. Absolutely. But because God, it's not tangible, we can't touch and feeling, it's hard for us to be. Well, that's why I think it's easier for us to talk about faith and prayer and those types of things. But boy, when you start talking about that this is God's, the place is a little different. It's a little far-fetched, you know.
How true. I am the trustee of my mom's things, and I take care of it. And it, I am much more conscious of managing her finances than I am my own.
Right.
I tend to, you know, whatever with my own more than I would ever with hers.
Yeah.
And it's so obvious to me that it's not mine when I'm dealing with her stuff.
And that's an excellent example. Did y'all hear that? Because that really does. I mean, that applies it. You know, when it's ours, quote, ours, we don't see that it's God's. And I think that's your point, and that your example really points that. That's a great point. I love this. 1 Chronicles 29:14. This is the New International Version. But the context here, and I would encourage you to go and read everything around both sides of these. Anytime you see verses, go and look at the verses on either side of it to give you a real good context. Because sometimes people will take things and they will pull them out of context, and that's not what God intended for us to hear. And so I always encourage you to go and prove these things out in the Scripture. David really wanted to build a temple. But God, because of some of the sin that had been in his life, and he was a warring man, God said that he wasn't going to allow David to build the temple. But that didn't stop David from preparing all the materials so that his son Solomon could build the temple. And David here, this is his prayer after the people had given generously to a building project. And I think this is really, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? They had given, you know, by some accounts, if you use the terms, billions of dollars. As a nation, they were focused on what it was they wanted to do. They were giving of themselves to be able to prepare to build God's temple. That we should be able to give as generously as this. Everything comes from you. Who's the you? God. Everything comes from God. And we have given God only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as well as our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it has come from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. Now, last time I checked, that principle didn't stop back and end when David died and Solomon built the temple. You look in the book of Psalms, several verses that talk about everything, that God is the creator of all. So what we have, what we think we possess individually, is not 10% God's, not 50%, not 70%. It's 100% God's. If you're going to look at the Bible as your source of information and the source of truth, and the foundation that we're talking about, you know, exploring over the next 8 weeks or so. We have to start with the premise that everything that we have is 100% God's. 100% of what Sister Joyce is looking at for her mother, is entrusted with, is her mom's. And there's a preciousness and a tenaciousness about that, that you don't want to do it wrong, do you? And that's the way that we should approach our lives as we live every day, and how we deal with what God has entrusted us with, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot. The widow that gave a mite was a penny in our term. That was almost appeared, if you read about it, was almost 100% of what she had. There were other people that gave 1,000 times that. But it was a fraction of what they had. So what was God discerning there? Was he discerning the amount? He was discerning her heart. Her heart. And that's what God discerns in us, is our heart. Now, there may have been an awful lot of other people that said, you know, we're not going to build too many buildings with a mite. But I can tell you that her witness and her testimony in terms of what God had done for her and what God meant to her, and ultimately where her future and what her horizon and where her faith was at, was a far greater testimony than the building of a new building. That the person who gave lots more, that probably through the eyes of man, like, now that's who I'm going to go after. That person gave $250,000. But that's how God wants us to look at our finances, though. Whether we have a little or a lot, what's the intent of our heart? If he's given you a lot, then there's a greater accountability. If he's given you little, doesn't minimize your accountability. He still wants us to do it. Questions or comments?
To, when you look at the widow's mite, how we should view each other, particularly, let's say in the church. I mean, it's easy when you don't have much to feel ashamed and out of heart, it's, you know, particularly socially with those around you. And I've talked to people who have a lot who are embarrassed by what they have, because they feel like people are watching what they buy and what they have and being judged all the time. And, you know, we as, you know, fellowship within a church should never have an attitude towards one another. The world has that. People are defined by what they have and how much money they have and looked up and looked down upon. But, you know, we in the church never do that. I'm not suggesting that we ever do, but it's, you know, it's easy to fall into that, because that's how the world looks at one another.
One of the principles of God's commandments is not to covet. And yet, covetousness is really around possessions and doing that. You're great points. Other thoughts? Do you think Christians handle money differently than non-believers? By the way, by definition, a Christian, for our purposes, is a person who's accepted the free gift, Christ, God's only Son. John 3:16, gave the world, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's accepting that free gift and understanding what that death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was about. A non-believer is a person who has not accepted that gift. Equally precious to God, by the way. All his creation is equally precious to him, and he desires that none should perish, but that all should come to know him. Do you think Christians handle money differently from non-believers? Bankruptcy rates? Debt levels? Divorce due to financial problems? Giving percentages? Different surveys that I've seen and I've read, sadly, there's no statistical significance or difference between how the world handles money and how Christians handle money. So why do you think that is?
We as Christians tend to handle our money like the world does instead of handling it from a biblical perspective.
And you can say because we don't teach that.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of peer pressure there.
Lack of faith, lack of mercy, peer pressure. Yeah. You know, again, it gets back to we trust our souls to God, but we certainly don't want to entrust our finances to Him.
That's David itself. We're telling ourselves it's our finances, it's not God's. Mm-hmm.
It's because we don't see it as God's. We see it as ours. Yeah.
Just an observation, I think. It's easy to fall into the trap of, I've worked for it, I've earned it, it's mine, instead of God gave me the job. You know, starting at the premise, we get that ownership.
You know, one of the things this morning, Brother Harlan's message, he talked about, you know, why was God giving them the message? Because they were doing what He wanted them to do? Well, that's kind of what this was. In Deuteronomy, you may say to yourself, God, you know, this He was talking to Israel, and Israel was doing some good things, and He was causing them to want to remember. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Because they as a nation really been blessed with a lot of things. And He says, there might be a tendency for you to fall into the trap and say, your power and strength of your hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. For it is He who gives us the ability to produce wealth. If we always are doing something and we're using God's money, does it mean that we're always going to be blessed? If I give 10%, I'm going to get 20% back? No, but I do think that if our heart is right and we're always giving and trying to be good stewards of what He is, we may not always get more, but we're certainly going to get blessings. And I'll tell you, a blessing and that contentment, that financial peace of mind of knowing that you've done something that God wanted you to do. That widow, when she gave that, I got to believe that she had financial contentment, even though she may not know where her next meal was coming from. Because whatever that situation was that motivated her to do that, she felt that that's what God wanted her to do. Mm-hmm. Guarantee she did. I agree. So what's the questions that we should be asking as we get ready to think about our studies coming up? Should we be asking the question, what do I want to do with my money? What do I want to do with God's money? You like that one? Yeah. We probably get down to this one. You know, we're Christians, so we can maybe move down from this one. What does God want me to do with His money? That's the question I think that we should be asking ourselves. Is money evil? Yeah. Money is the root of all evil. How many of you have heard that? Yeah. Boy, and people want to say that's biblical. 1 Timothy 6:10. It's biblical. There's four words. Those four words that people leave out. For the love of money is the root of all evil. When we treasure money, possessions and things above who? Our relationship with God. Then it is. That's what creates the wedge between us and God. The stewards of what He's entrusted us with, that money, can really do it. It's what Israel did. Man, God blessed them richly. And they started feeling pretty good about themselves. And that wedge got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the chasm between them and God got farther and farther. And pretty soon, they were felt like they were drifting by themselves. We cannot serve God and money, but we must learn to serve God with money. Luke 16:11-13, Jesus says, "So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true life, true riches? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." If you look in the King James, it's going to say mammon. So this is our context. We have to put money in its proper place as we're going to talk about how are we going to be good stewards of it. We've got to have a solid foundation. You know, we understand as we go forward that the lessons and the discussions we're going to have are about what God has entrusted us and blessed us with, and that we're stewards of 100% of it, then perhaps maybe we'll have a little bit more of that sense of accountability that Sister Joyce talked about that she had for her mother as the trustee for all that she has. And that's the sense of urgency I think that we all need to have as we contemplate how we use our finances. To whose benefit? To God's benefit. That doesn't mean that we can't have money. There are many Christians who have more money than you and I can ever imagine. And there's a burden that comes with having money. Sister Joyce talked about that too. But if God's entrusted it to us and our heart's in the right place, He can be glorified with that. And we can see lost souls saved. Because ultimately, I think that that's what our witness is about, is that other people will come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Any last questions or comments? Any feedback for me? Did this seem like it was too one way? Does this seem like it's a good foundation, a starting place for us to talk about? Okay. Catch me offline. Say, this worked, this didn't work. Have you thought about doing this? And we'll, as we go along, that's going to be how we're going to make this beneficial to everybody that's here. Could everybody could stand?